Well, this is the Real BS Show on a rainy day.
That's
right.
It's
kind of warm, though. It's in its high 30s, I think. Can't complain about that on February.
Yeah, it's a not fun day. You know, you're stuck in the rain all day long, and it's just miserable, miserable, miserable weather, you know?
Yeah, it's wet, that's for sure.
You know, we need some motivation, Bill. That's what.
Yeah, is that what that is? Motivational music in the background?
Some background music for motivation, kind of pump you up. It's like we're going to war with the weather.
Yeah. Go out and be stupid.
I'll admit, yesterday was really nice. It was close to this.
Yeah, it was.
It was
I
mid-50s.
Cut up a lot of wood yesterday, yeah.
Sunny, and I was sweating for a bit. I was like,
I was overdoing it. So now today I'm paying for it.
A leave. That's what you need, a leave day. That's what.
Yeah. Yeah, Thursday's my day off, so it's good when it rains on Thursday because you can't do nothing anyway.
That's true.
Oh, that's all right. I don't know. You got some kind of gentle type of, I don't know, springtime music? Or?
Yeah, I got some kind of springtime music, kind of a
country flavored?
Yeah.
I heard some country music.
I got some country music. I'm not a huge fan of country music, especially the pop country or waltzing country. I kind of like leaning towards getting artists that are not as well known, not to be hipster or anything, but there's some really good artists out there that just need their names put out there a little bit more.
Oh, there's tons and tons and tons of music. Holy smokes. What, I was looking at a lot of headlines and stuff, you know, how Pennsylvania's ranks number 4 in the...
in
whole United States for foreclosures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So everybody's stopped paying their bills. And Pennsylvania's, I mean, California's ahead of us. Michigan's ahead of us. New York State's ahead of us. Missouri's right up there.
Wow.
West Virginia, of course. I mean, I think it revolves around people losing their jobs. Because there's a lot of unemployment. Even though they say it's so wonderful and everything. There's a lot of people getting laid off. I mean, a ton of them.
You factor
Microsoft and, you know, a lot of big companies.
Google just laid off a bunch.
Yeah. What's that, UPS? Yeah. 150,000.
Yeah.
Holy
was their Christmas rush. They basically hired all those people for Christmas and just laid them off, you know. One of the things that, again, we've done shows on this before about automation, and we spoke about it at length. However, it's a reality. We're facing the facts now that when I think it was Google that laid off 19,000 workers, their automation is, you know, increasing. You look at even basic minimum wage jobs, and you can't find a single job in Pennsylvania where they're paying less than 10 bucks an hour, 11 bucks an hour, because, and that's way above the minimum wage. And what's happening is, nobody wants the minimum wage jobs anymore, so employers are purposely raising their wages, but they're hiring less people because they don't need that many people. Automation is starting to pick up.
A lot of part-time stuff going on, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
no benefits, no. That's the way I delivered a load of wood the other day, and the guy said something about, I must be making a nice buck or something. I said, if I wanted to make some money, I'd go to Walmart or McDonald's and get a job. You know, then I could make some real money.
Right, right. I think some of them are, there's many jobs right now hiring for 20 bucks an hour, just general labor jobs. You know, you think about it, there's like, you know, there's like place like Curtsy or.
Well, California's changing that rule. They might have done it already, where fast food is, they're required to pay 20 bucks an hour.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Holy catfish.
And then they wonder why the food prices keep on going up, and it makes the problem worse.
Yeah.
You know, foreclosures are a big part of the problem here is because they number one, they don't have a fixed rate loan, and that's a big problem. You know, the debt crisis is – I'm not talking about the national debt or the government spending. I'm talking about personal credit debt.
Oh, yeah, credit card debt is an all-time
major problem that people weren't – it's something like – I think it's 46% of Americans are not paying off their current month's credit card debt. So it's falling over into the next month. 46%. No, I thought it would be higher than that, but no, 46% is
serious. Well, you just go out and get another credit card and use the second credit card to pay the first credit card.
Right, right, right.
And then when that one gets all pumped up, then you go get a third one.
Right, right. Jeez. It's
a lot of paperwork, but...
What I was always taught from a young age, not that my parents are like the most extreme fiscal policy, they have very good credit scores, though. But one of the things that I learned from them is you don't let it go to the next month. You always pay it off. You don't let things like that carry over to the next month. It's going to hurt you in the long run. And so you live within your means.
24% or whatever it's at. I mean, how in the world can you keep up with that?
You should pay it off. Then you won't be paying that. Ooh. You know, you'll pay it off and then you're clear. But the reality is most, 46% is, it's probably higher than that. But that's, mind you, when they say that 46%, it's constantly, they're not paying it off. Sometimes now there's other group percentages, something like 30% on top of that, that are missing some months where they're not able to pay it. So they're very few. It's probably roughly another 30 that are actually paying it every month off. And so that's why the credit card situation is so dire right now, that it's crazy for people to not be paying off their credit cards. I just don't get it, you know?
Wow, somebody's got to be taking a hit. I mean, like mortgages, if people stop paying their mortgages, the banks are... Yeah. I think the banks are in real trouble. I think there's going to be a real big big mess coming our way. It's like a tsunami or something.
Talking about tsunamis, we look at what's happening in China with Evergrande, and I point to them for a reason. It's an example there when these things fail and 99% liquidation. There's people who had investment in it that lost all that money. The government's not backing them up there. You know, the government's forcing this, basically, this liquidation. And it's basically, it's capsizing their whole real estate economy there. They were tearing down buildings that they just built that people paid for condos in them, and never finished them. So they just decided to tear them down. You can see videos online of all these buildings being blown up in China. Imploded, and so they come crashing down on purpose. And those people, that think about every room in those towers, those buildings, were paid for by someone, and they're losing money on
that. Well, that's what did I say earlier? The G7, the big seven, six of them are in recession. You know, Germany, UK. They're in recession, and we are too. We're just not admitting it.
It's not. Yeah, we're basically bandaging it up. You know, the Federal Reserve, I think I showed you the clip before. The Federal Reserve said the quiet part loud, that spending is not sustainable. The current spending is not sustainable in the long run, and inflation is going to cause more harm than good. And they're finally admitting that.
Now, well, we gotta send lots of money to Ukraine
and Israel.
Keep the bomb making people happy.
Right. Well, we're also sending money to other, to teach certain social studies in other countries that don't agree with their culture. I think we should keep our money here.
We'll protect their borders and leave ours wide open.
We need to put more money back into the tax holders' pockets.
Hey, I forgot to tell you, I'm going to move to New York City for about a week or so, just enough to get that $10,000 check, and then I can come back.
You're going to start speaking Spanish?
Yeah, well, I'll just say I don't know English, and, because you don't need any ID or nothing.
Here's the words you say, no habla inglés.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That means no English. I don't know English. I don't speak English.
Where's my money? Give me my $10,000. I'll be out of here.
There was my 4.5 years of Spanish studies.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, how in the world, who's paying for all that? New York City, if I was an investor or a real estate, I'd move out of that town big time. I'd pack my bags and be gone.
I messed up, Bill. It's no hablo inglés. I said habla, that means... That's the wrong conjugation, but hablo, no hablo inglés.
Whatever.
There you go.
Whatever.
Well, there you go. I just wanted to correct it.
I don't know Spanish
either. Yeah, so my brain, sometimes brain farts.
Well, they were checking all these people that are coming across the border.
Yeah.
And, 60% of them were from China.
Yeah, yeah.
China.
It's the same problem.
Something's going on.
Same problem that Canada's having right now is in Vancouver. It's very hard to find houses.
Well, they got
there.
Trudeau. We got Biden. They got Trudeau. Yeah, so even.
I would say that Trudeau's probably a little bit worse than Biden. I'm not a supporter of Biden.
Nothing can be worse than Biden.
Well, don't get me wrong. Biden's policies are horrible. The only one I truly agree with on Biden is his nuclear policy. He's pro-nuclear. So I'll give him that. I'll give him one thing.
Yeah, but what's he done? Nothing.
Nothing. But with Trudeau, it's actually...
He can talk a little bit. The other day, he gave that speech. He was trying to offshoot something. And he started telling everybody that President Sisi from Mexico won't let the...
he's met from Egypt.
Supplies in or something. Yeah. He got Egypt and Mexico mixed around.
Yeah, yeah. That was after
was criticizing them, saying that he was too far gone to prosecute.
Right, right.
They couldn't prosecute
him. And he was pissed about that, yeah.
He couldn't remember when he was vice president. He couldn't remember.
Did you hear the news reporters? Did you hear the news reporters screaming at him, at Biden?
That
was the first time I ever heard them do that to a president. I mean, sure, they yelled at presidents before to get their attention. But this time, there was anger in that room when those reporters were in there. And to me, that tells me that...
I don't know how you pick out one and answer a question. No. It was all screaming.
But this time, they were yelling at him, furious that he wasn't willing to answer questions on this topic. But going back further, it's like Trudeau, in my opinion, has a lot that is illiberal about him that... I think it takes it to extreme. First off, he doesn't believe in freedom of speech. Of course, they don't have that in their charters of Canada at all. They don't have anything like that at all. They don't have freedom of speech like we do.
Well, when he froze all the truckers' bank accounts and all that stuff, I mean,
And then, you know, he basically made them lose their jobs. He basically, you know, arrested them. You know, then on top of it, the different bans he's been doing on different, guns and whatnot is very serious in Canada. Yeah. You know, then he is basically wears blackface and never gets in trouble for it. And yet he could be, he's trying to be morally superior to everybody by promoting an ideology of tolerance, quote unquote tolerance. Yet he's not ill tolerant in many different ways. And that's why I think he's worse in a lot of ways. And to me...
Well, Biden's just an idiot.
That's
wandering around in a daze, you know. I mean, he doesn't know anything.
You know, they recently posted on Twitter on Biden's account, you know, the dark Brandon laser eyes. And it's like a meme thing about, dark Brandon being, you know, let's go Brandon. Remember that?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, the dark Brandon is basically Biden with laser eyes. And it's like, you remember there was a picture of him standing on stage with a red... background and it looked like he was a dictator. Well, that's, you know, those are memes. And Biden's just so incompetent, he can't even climb a set of stairs, you know. So, but Trudeau, that's, if we had a Trudeau in this country, that'd be really scary. Very fascist mentality in a lot of ways. Authoritarian.
You know what? You know, when I look around, I see all this crazy crap that's going on. America's got to be the dumbest bunch of voters in the world. Just totally stupid. You know, I mean, homeless people are electing our president. What the heck are we doing?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's one of the things that I think you look back through the history of America and you always see the weirdest things get on ballots. I think we've always had a problem. Any democracy is like this. Any federal republic is like this. And I think you look at Germany, how they handle their things. They're so authoritarian in every little step of the way. Everything is so bureaucratic, right? You know, control everything, and you have to fill out this form, fill out that form. If you don't fill it out, then you get denied everything. And I think that's where our problem in this country is. Like, when you lose your birth certificate or your Social Security card, have you ever tried to get those replaced and how complicated it is?
I've mowed my wallet several times, you know.
Right.
Made a big mess of everything.
It's so stupid how they had to, it's so many paperwork and so much crap you have to go through just to get that crap filled out. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I understand the security of it. You don't want people getting access to your sensitive documents like that. But there's got to be easier way of handling it. And I think the bureaucracy in this country is what is holding us back in a lot of ways. There's way too much overhead. There's way too much government checks and balances, and it needs to be cut back.
Oh, geez.
And you look at what Javier Milei's doing. He has the first budget surplus in Argentina. They've ever seen.
How's he doing down
amazingly
there?
Well. They have the first budget surplus, and I can actually, I don't know how much.
What do you do, fire all the government workers?
Oh, he basically cut spending and cut.
They're saying that the employment rate is not too bad. Well, the biggest hirer of employees is the federal government.
Yeah, yeah. He really cut basically the budget completely. And I think that's one of the key things here. Yeah, right here. Argentina registered a roughly $620 million financial surplus in January, the first positive financial result of its kind experienced by a South American country in 12 years. And basically, he's really revigorated the economy. He's something like 15% or 20% of the beef prices dropped, and food prices have dropped drastically. Businesses are booming.
So they got McDonald's down there?
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's where McDonald's gets their beef from.
Yeah.
but no, seriously, Argentina is turning around for the positive. And, of course, there's people flipping out about it. He's allowing companies, if you're a worker, he's allowing you to choose whether or not to be in union. That's a huge positive. That's a right to work. You know,
right
you're
to work, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a lot of positive things coming out of Javier. And I wish we could import him into the United States. I wish there was someone like him. Oh, wait, there was Ron Paul. Basically, Javier Milei is following everything Ron Paul was saying he was going to do. He's doing it.
Yeah.
He cut the government agencies, the government departments. There was like 30 of them. He cut them down to 9. You know, he just threw them out. You know, and
we just go the opposite way. It just gets bigger and bigger and more.
It's, right.
We're just... America's going to go down the toilet. I mean, we ain't got a prayer right now. I mean,
it's why I bring up China, because I look at China as a very authoritarian country that they have a recent video where it's the most childish things. They're praising Chairman Xi. They called it the Zictionary. That's what they called this video series. On how well Chairman Xi is changing China, and it's all lies. You know, they're like talking about how well he is. You know, he actually talks to the poor people and he eats food with them. And it's like that's normal things people do. Who cares? But you look at China, what's happening in China? I'm concerned about it in the global crisis. How much financial damage this would be across the whole world.
Well, I don't think we can handle any more. I mean, right now, with all these foreclosures, a lot of these regional banks are going to go under.
They're
just going to go under. And it's even going to affect the commercial. The commercial foreclosures will affect these regional banks. But once it's going to get to the big boys, too.
I agree.
It's going to get there, and it's coming. It's coming.
We have to go back to the 2008 housing crisis. You know, you saw that happen. Peter Schiff predicted that. And why did it happen? Well, look at Bill Clinton and his crew removed the Glass-Steagall Act, which allowed investment banking and
commercial
banking to mix together. And they went a step further that most people don't talk about why they did it. They did it under the guise of helping the poor people get loans that they normally were never given, because if you look at credit history, then most of those people...
if you can't afford it, there's no sense
That's what they did. They were under the guise of helping poor get loans and actually own homes, which we'll call it a noble thing, allowing people to get loans. It caused a parasitic method where they were... not fixed loans. They were variable. And so the rates would go up. And that's why the subprime loans happened. They were betting on them. And it just all collapsed on everybody. And it was under the guise of helping the poor. Now, I'm all about helping the poor. But that's getting the government out of the way. This allowed more government influence. The government was saying, you need to allow these people to get loans. And a company should be able to say, no, I don't want to give them a loan. They have horrible credit. They're not, you know, they have too many credit cards.
Well, they're also lending them more money than the properties were worth.
Exactly. That was another problem, yeah.
They were just 130%, you know.
Right.
Mortgages.
So this is what I'm saying is now people are paying for it still to this day. That's what I'm talking about.
They're just underwater. Well, it's happened. It started all over again because everybody was making offers on property that were higher than the asking price.
Yep.
And then they lose their job, and boom, they're gone.
Yep.
You know, they're toast. They can't make the payment.
That sucks, you know.
And then they're underwater. I mean, you know, if you try to sell a place for $100,000, but you owe $150,000,
right?
What good is that? You know,
right?
That's not going to do anything. And the banks are going to take it in the shorts.
And that's the truth right now. Housing right now is not selling. People aren't buying houses like that.
Not these prices.
Their interest rates. The interest rates are way too high.
Well, that too, yeah. Plus the insurance, the taxes are going up. The taxes.
Flood insurance.
You know how these truckers for Trump, they're getting together, or they were going to get together and stop deliverance in New York City because of the court ruling. Well, you know, people ought to do the same thing with their taxes. I mean, the property taxes are getting outrageous completely. And the insurance prices are going up. I mean, I mean, I've never had a ticket in my life, never had any accidents, nothing.
Right.
Every year it goes up. Well, let's see, last year went up $50.
Right.
You know, and all I got is the very bare minimum liability, whatever you need to get away with driving.
Right.
$50, boom. You know, just
a month or?
No, $50. What, every 6 months?
Oh, it went up more, $50.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of $220, it went up to $270 or something. I don't know. It was for 6 months, you know. But it's the very bare minimum. If I get in an accident, I'm probably toast.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think.
Of course, I'm already toast. Anyways, I've gotten rid of everything I could possibly get rid of, so there's nothing to take.
I think you look at the whole industry and how it's being destroyed within. You know, they're first destroying the dollar, the value of the dollar, and that's not being talked enough about. To me, a lot of these things were predicted in the past. They warned about how the U.S. dollar is not being backed by gold or silver or anything. It's just magic money at this point. And they keep on inflating the dollar. And, you know, everyone was complaining about it, you know, saying, oh, the inflation's a good thing, you know, that, you know, but now, now that it's come to fruition, you know what I really get annoyed by is people saying, oh, corporations are being greedy. I'm like, no, they're not. They're freaking, you know, they pumped out all this money, all these PPP loans and all this, you know, stimulus checks that were stupid to put out. And then they wondered right after that, boom, inflation started happening. Corporations are not being greedy.
Well, it was just transitory. It wasn't going to last.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not getting worse.
And I think that's, you know, the corporations are not being greedy when the dollar loses value. You have to increase your costs because everyone wants higher wages. They want, you know, they want more benefits. They want, you know, supply chains are restricted. They're not being greedy at that point. You can't call that greedy. Is it when they lower their prices, are they still being greedy? You know, it happens when the economy is going well, people lower their prices. It's not a static, constant increase. That's what's irritating about this is when I'm not trying to defend the corporations. There's greedy corporations.
Well, I think inflation's just getting started.
That's what I'm
thinking. It's going to get worse.
Because you look at Europe. Look at Europe, man. They're getting hammered with inflation.
I just went to Walmart just the other day, and the bread, the cheap junk bread that I get went up another 40, 50 cents.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, what? Well, they changed the wrapper so it looks a little better.
You know what it is? I guarantee you it's the wheat prices have finally caught up with what happened in India when they stopped exporting wheat. That was about a year ago.
Something's going on.
And that's what, if you look at, right now, I think India is like top five wheat producing countries. And that's after we gave them the science to grow wheat in different climate. So they started producing wheat like crazy. But they had to stop exporting wheat because they were worried about supply chain issues.
And they wanted to keep it for themselves.
So basically, yeah, they had to.
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of people in India.
They have the world's number one population.
It higher than China?
Yeah, they beat China at the beginning or end of last year.
Wow. Holy cow.
Yeah. So China's suffering right now for the long time because they removed this one-child policy. But the one-child one child policy in China really hurt them, because a lot of people, when they were having one kid, said, we'll go with having a boy. So they aborted a lot of girls. And so now there's a surplus of men and not enough women. And also, you think about how much, I keep on bringing up China, but this is an example of what a centralized government can do. I'm not trying to just target China, but I'm just trying to show this is what happens when you give too much government control over. Is you think about how many people lost the ability to have sisters or brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins. I'm trying to think of what else there might be. You know, you lost all that with the one-child policy. They only could have one child, and then after a time, no one has any more cousins, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. They're all gone. No cousins, nothing. And then... There goes
the family reunion right out the window.
then you think about it. Who's taking care of the grandparents? In the Chinese culture, it's very heavily dictated that you, when you get old enough, you have a job and you take care of your parents. So both the man and woman that get married have to take care of their four parents, and there's only two of them, and they have one kid. So it was an upside down family structure, and that is a problem. And when you destroy that, destroys your culture.
Anything government touches screws it up.
This is why
it's always screwed up.
They removed that policy because now they have a problem. They have too many old people and not enough young people to keep their economy going. And it's like Japan or Italy. They're both in negative birth rate. They're not beating the replication. So their economies are dying if you look at the stats. In Japan, they're selling more adult diapers than baby diapers. and that's a scary thing. And right now, in the United States, we're at 1.7. That's below the 2.1 replication. We're in a serious trouble here today.
So, America's... We're letting all the immigrants in, so that'll pump things up a little bit.
But here's the positive side. How about this? We open immigration to all countries and bring the best in. We did that before. 1920s, we brought in so many Europeans, so many people from Asia, so many people from Africa, so many people from South America. We brought in the best. And my family was the immigrants that came in the
1920s. Now they're just cleaning out the jails.
Yeah, well, I look at
Venezuela and all these different places.
So a good example is my father's family came from Austria-Hungary after it collapsed. And it was World War I. The World War I just devastated Europe. And they were in what's now northern Serbia. And they came to the United States for better opportunities. They went through the whole, you know, naturalization, you know, they had to learn English. They had to learn how our government worked, how basically to pass the citizens test. And they became citizens. But before that, my grandfather had a green card. We'll call it the equivalent of then. And he worked to pay off for his wife and kids, to his daughter and son, to come over. And that's how it started. It's like, you know, but here's the deal. Now we have actually the easiest immigration process in the world.
Well, there's no work involved anymore.
But you go to Europe or something, it's actually very difficult to become a German or Italian citizen there. They only allow by blood in Europe. And that means if you are born Italian or you have one grandparent that's an Italian, then if you're in the United States, per se, you have a grandparent that's Italian, you can apply for Italian citizenship because you have one grandparent. Whereas in America, it's if either you're born here or you are by blood an American. And I think in America, we have the right system. That's how our founding forefathers created it, is we want to bring immigrants in, but at the same time, we need to have a process that's a little bit... You go to Canada, for instance, you can't become a citizen there that easy. It's very difficult to become a Canadian citizen, unless you're seeking asylum. Now, we made all these agreements that if there are in these countries like Venezuela or Central American countries where they're suffering internal strife, that we gave them asylum, and that's why they're coming.
Asylum.
Asylum, yeah. That's what I meant. But that's what do you do? What do you do in that situation? There's not enough houses. There's not enough jobs. There's probably more jobs. I think when you bring immigrants in, more jobs get created. But that's
you got to feed them.
But that's the thing is, that's after they get established. But we need more houses. And right now, all these regulations are preventing people to buy houses and build houses. We need to restrict those regulations some. There's archaic laws on the books that are stupid. You know, you look at the county here, we have to call some guy, I don't remember the name of the group is, we have to have all these inspections done. You know, we could be like Texas more. Look at Texas, they're growing rapidly in Texas. That's because they have not as strict building regulations. And we have such strict building regulations, they're worried about how a 2x4 is, which way it's facing. It's not their business. You see what I'm saying? I think that's where we need to start, is building more houses. We're lacking on that.
Well, I don't know. The whole system is screwed up, and government's done it to us, and we keep voting these same idiots back in. You know, let's get some more Democrats in there and see how bad we can get.
I look at it both ways. You know, both of the two sides.
Well, the Republicans are just as bad.
Because you had, for instance, under Trump, in his first 2 years in the office, he had a Republican House and Senate, and they didn't do anything. Yeah. It's like this was a waste of time. They were talking about cutting the swamp out. What swamp did they cut out? They didn't cut nothing out. You know what the swamp is? It's suspended. And Ron Paul and Peter Schiff and now the Federal Reserve saying it's what's spending. But I think
it's ironic.
Here's another thing. Since we have 1.7 birth rate, right? Not many people are having huge families. So why are we having...
Can't afford it.
They can't afford it. Well, no, they're choosing not to have. We're more wealthier than ever, Bill. This country's more, you know, people are more wealthier now than ever in history.
Well, that's because we printed so much money out of thin air and just kind of handed it out.
Well, I mean, that's true, but I mean, generally, the actual assets that people own in this country, individually, are wealthier than ever in history. We are like the most wealthiest ever in humanity, ever in history. We're living like kings and queens. What's happening is people are choosing not to have kids as much. And they're saving money that way. But also, they have more personal assets. Look at all the computers and cell phones and TVs, all these assets, the food supply. We are so abundantly, we're obese with food.
You ever been to Walmart lately?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Like people are like, they're eating like kings and queens and living like kings and queens, being entertained by everything. They're always never bored.
Where did I go? I was at a place called Wegmans.
Yeah.
And they have a restaurant on the side.
Yeah.
Well, when you go through there, you get a tray full of food, and instead of charging you by whatever it is you bought, they weigh it.
Yeah.
they charge you by the pound.
I will admit, I like Wegmans. It's a nice store.
Oh, geez. There's a novel idea right there. You know, if you don't get much, you don't pay much, you know. But if you load that baby up, boy, it's going to cost you.
Right, right.
Oh, shoot. That'll trim a few folks.
I that's a funny thing you mentioned that, because it would be great if we actually had restaurants that did that more. That, like, you weighed your food or weighed the person, right, you know?
Weighed the person? Ooh,
yeah,
geez,
that'd be kind of a touchy.
There's a lawsuit right there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we're a country of lawsuits. Holy smokes.
It might be in Las Vegas there's a restaurant where... If you weighed over a certain amount of pounds, you ate free. All you can eat. And I'm sitting thinking, that's our peak.
See, that's what they're going to do with this digital money, this digital dollars. You know, if you go through, and they're going to know your medical history.
Right.
You go through and want to get a pizza, they're not going to allow you to do it. Yeah. They say, oh, no, you're shut off, you know. You can't.
Right.
You weigh too much. Your blood pressure's too high. You can't eat pizza.
That's kind of like a Brave New World by Huxley. It's a great book to read. You know, I kind of think in some way. 1984 is another one. But Brave New World's one that I think everyone should read. I think I gave that book to you, didn't I? A Brave New World?
I don't remember that one.
I've
heard of it, but I...
It's a great book. I'll have to make sure I got that. I think I got that for you, didn't I?
The last book you got me was the one with the pigs.
Animal Farm, yeah.
Yeah. Holy
that's
cow.
A great one,
what
isn't it?
What a scary thing that was. Yeah,
but that's a great analogy for what's happening sometimes.
Ooh, man.
You know, we're kind of living in those current times, the Animal Farm one. You know, there's some people are saying, four legs is better than two, and all animals are equal.
It all started off like the pigs had a better idea, but in the end, they turned out to be just like the two-legged animals.
And I'm going to say what the current analogy is the Black Lives Matter parent organization, the one that's the actual LLC, the nonprofit, is a scam, whereas the movement is a different situation. And the one that's the nonprofit was taking money and putting all that money into an account, and then the leaders in that nonprofit were spending it on personal things, buying houses. Yeah. And they were saying the same things like an animal farm. It's the same thing. It's the same thing in China right now going on. It's the same thing happening in India. It's the same thing that happened in the Soviet Union. That's why Orwell wrote that book. Was actually about the Soviet Union. He wrote that. In a lot of ways, they still, Russia has never left that mindset of animal farm. It's kind of the same mindset. The same thing happened in Germany, in Eastern Germany. You know, in the UK, there's talk, like, the same kind of mentality. There's different classes of people. In America, we would hope that we're all equal under other rights, right? We're supposed to be all equal, right? But there's some that have more rights than others.
We're so far gone.
We're
past.
There's protected classes. And
I was looking on YouTube, and I was trying to search out Soviet cities, you know, like Moscow and St. Petersburg and all these places. Stalingrad?
Yeah, Stalingrad.
Those places are beautiful.
The architecture is
totally beautiful.
Right, but it's before the Soviet Union.
You take a look at Los Angeles. You take a look at New York City. Holy catfish! What a difference! I mean, we're total pig pens. I mean,
I will say I don't really care. Terrible. I don't really care for the commie blocks that used to be in that are still existing in Russia or former Soviet Union states. One of the reasons is the apartments look horrible to live in.
Look at New York City.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not a city person at all, but I'd rather see some more beautiful architecture than cement buildings like in Soviet Union. But there's some beautiful churches.
See tents and people pooping all over the streets, and it's just unbelievable.
In Russia,
San Francisco, Los Angeles.
I have to say is in Russia, you do, because they have a huge issue with alcoholism in Russia.
I can't find it. Let's put it that way.
If you look for alcoholism in Russia and also opioids, they have a huge opioid crisis. It's all Europe. Look at UK, Ireland, Germany. They all have an opioid crisis that nobody's talking about. But if you Google it, you'll find it. Use your favorite search engine.
You got to go some to catch up to us, because we're really in the dumps. Awful. Look at Philadelphia. Kensington?
Yeah.
Southern part of... I mean, the people are saying, do not drive down through there. You're taking your life in your hands.
Think about this for a second. What happened in those cities that start homelessness? Why did it grow so big in the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? There's a reason. It's certain policies that put those people into homelessness. It's also the fact that the drug problems is been criminalized so much that we're not a free country. When you throw people into prison, they're stuck. They can't get a job. They end up homeless when they get out.
Well, the job part is a big deal, because in the 70s, I worked in Erie, Continental Rubber Works, and all through Erie, Riley Stoker, all these different, Cyrus Erie, GE was giant then.
Yeah.
There was Urich Foundry, all these Malleable, Erie. There was factories everywhere.
Right.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
But you factor in.
That's why things are so slopped up, screwed up.
We lost a lot of manufacturing, but at the same time, people get hooked on drugs. You could have a simple accident. I'm going to give it a story. I don't use drugs. I think my view is that we should not treat it as a criminal problem and treat it as a medical problem instead, which is a whole different world. When you factor in, it shouldn't be involving the police in this situation, that we should legalize drugs to the point where they get help instead of prison. Because prison's not working, obviously. Because people go to prison, they get stuck with a felon, they can't get a job, they get back into a vicious cycle of drugs and use, and then they end up losing their home and on the street.
What I'm saying is the jobs are gone.
No, they're gone. But how can you bring them back?
I could just list over and over all these companies that are gone. Right. Just totally gone, empty.
Right, right. You look at Erie. How many houses are sitting empty in Erie right now that are not being lived in? And I'm not saying take them from the owners.
I don't know. I hate to go up there, so I don't even.
It's a tragic thing. Erie used to be a vibrant, more vibrant city than it is now, that had families living in those homes. And now it's dilapidated buildings. And I think I attribute to the lack of manufacturing. It's leaving the area. But whose fault is it for leaving the area? It's policies that were put into place by local and state governments.
And federal governments.
And federal governments to chase away businesses from this area.
And they shipped all the jobs to Mexico.
Or south.
NAFTA? No,
no. NAFTA, yeah.
NAFTA,
yeah. Yeah. And also to China.
Big sucking sound of jobs going to Mexico.
So NAFTA, and then you have manufacturing moving to China. And now, lately, a lot of jobs have been moving south to like Texas, Florida, Alabama. They're moving south to areas that have different laws there. And I think that's the beauty of it, is if you look at Pennsylvania and said, you want to bring manufacturing back to us, we're going to have to really change how we look at things. One is looking at how we treat the workers, how we look at how we treat the companies, how we treat the businesses that are operating, and all three of them are not being treated right. And that's
taxes,
the problem.
I mean,
that's what I'm talking about, taxes.
California and New York are just dead zones. I mean, they are. They're just totally.
Companies are leaving
trash.
California at a record rate. People are leaving California at a record rate. And it's growing.
You watch what happens in New York City. It's coming.
It's already happening.
Their taxes are so high up there, it's unreal.
You
got to live on an Indian plantation to buy gas.
You know what the crazy thing is? They have rent control in some of these major cities. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're a landlord, okay? And your property taxes go up, yet you have rent control. How do you get the money to pay the taxes or whatever when your rent is not the rent you're getting from people is not even enough because it's rent controlled? And then that's a problem right there. I go back to Javier Milei in Argentina. He removed rent control.
Free enterprise, I guess.
Yeah, he wants free enterprise.
Used to be that way here.
And so, look, I understand sometimes landlords can be scumlords, but not all of them are. Most are not. The reality is if we let the market dictate, then and get the government out of the way, like how Javier Milei is doing it, look what he's doing there. He took that country.
I can't vouch for that because I don't know.
But in Argentina, they used to be the fifth most richest economy in the world. At one time, they were competing against the United States and being the wealthiest at one point. Because they have a mix. They're a mix of all immigrants from Europe. They have, like, you know, of course, Spanish. They have Germans. They have Italians. They have French. They have Portuguese. They have
World War II, they got a lot of Germans down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, a little bit. But
Hitler should have went there.
Yeah, well, they probably did. But the reality is they turned that economy. They were fit, like, very top economy. And then socialism crept in, and they became real low, like 49th out of the wealthiest countries in the world. And now he's turning that around. So I use that as an example. Rent control in New York City is outrageous. You know, there's people living there that they are grandfathered into their rent, and the rent can never increase. How do you justify owning the place? If you sell it, the other person gets hooked onto the rent control. They can never change that price. But market prices change. Inflation happened.
Well, that's what's happening in Florida. People are selling their properties.
Right.
And they had property taxes of $4,000 a year or something.
Right.
They sell their property, and the new owner, all of a sudden, it goes from $4,000 to $40,000.
Wow.
That fast. I mean, they really, really get expensive down
that's
there.
That's crazy. That's why
it's going to kill them.
It's the same thing in Texas. They have very high property taxes. I didn't know this. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they have probably very high property taxes there. I personally, you know, think that in Pennsylvania we could get rid of property taxes completely and fund it through just a small 1% increase of sales tax. I think that would be a fair balance. You know, we have one of the lowest sales taxes in the country.
Well, you want to go someplace that has low property taxes, go to Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had a 5-acre little farm down there.
They do things different down there.
$140 a year for property tax. That was for everything.
How much you want to bet?
$140.
How much you bet that people are going to start moving there?
I don't know. I mean, if it's still the same now, they might have changed. Who knows? But it was super cheap. I mean, it was way better than Pennsylvania.
Right.
And it was like... Now, this is the way it's supposed to be. Now, I think their sales tax was 7%.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit more expensive that way.
You know how many people come to Pennsylvania to buy clothes or food or...
stuff that's not taxed?
Yeah. Just so many. Canadians
come down and buy the busload.
Buy the busload. It's shocking to me every time I see it.
But just so they don't have to pay that sales tax on clothes and food.
In the UK, the first time I was kind of sheltered. I've been to other states and knew there were sales taxes for clothes and stuff. But it really shocked me when I went to the UK and went into what they call a mall there and saw how expensive their clothes were because they included the tax in the price. And I knew how much that, like, a shirt was in the United States. And something that would cost, like, let's say $15 here back then in the 90s or 2000s, it would cost like $40 there. I'm using the equivalent of US dollar, but... And I did the math. I was like, holy cow. And that's because of tax. They added all this tax and import taxes and all these tax. And it just shook me. I'm like, holy cow, how does the UK even survive? Like, half their money is going to tax. Over half. It's like something like 55% of their money is going to tax.
To me, taxes are like stealing.
Right.
It's just stealing.
If you factor, you look at all of Americans' money, where they spend it, and how much money is being spent on different things, you look at income tax, property tax, sales tax, import tax.
Local tax. State tax.
Fees, we'll call them, that's another form of tax. Fines, that's another... You do something bad, that's a tax. All these taxes, you're spending at least 50% too on average.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there's so many taxes on everything. And so you can't turn around.
They changed the import tax. They changed the import tax on something, and the price has to go up. And, of course, people call that greedy again. It's like, wait a second, the government's doing that. When the government does it, it's okay. But if a corporation does it, it's wrong. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Crazy.
We've been talking for 45 minutes, Bill.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got a couple tunes we can play?
We can play a few songs.
Yeah, play a couple of them right in a row.
Okay.
That can rest my tongue. It's been flapping. 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Wow. We're just babbling.
Holy cow. I should run for office.
There we go.
You know what? I was watching on... He's probably YouTube.
Yeah.
I was watching these mega ministries.
Yeah.
You know, like Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, yeah. And, he's scary, isn't he?
All these preachers, prosperity gospel, as they call them.
Yeah, those are a scam.
You got to give us $100 and you'll get $1,000 back, you know.
Yeah, scam.
I mean, and the people are just cheering and just... I mean, Kenneth Copeland's got his own airport at his house.
Two planes,
yeah. I mean, this guy's a billionaire.
If you want to see the devil in human form, that's Kenneth Copeland.
Oh, geez, yeah. what a nasty! Oh, he's just awful. And then there's so many of them. Just like why? Because there's a lot of money in it. People just suck it up. You know, they should pay taxes to the government instead of these prosperity gospels.
isn't it hilarious how they all get up caught in scandals sooner or later, like sex scandals or anything like that.
Jim and Tammy.
Yeah.
Benny Hinn cheated
on his wife. Yeah.
Holy smokes. I mean, these guys are just, I couldn't do it. I never could.
Well, there was a guy that.
Boy, these guys make a fortune.
There was a guy that did that. He actually was raised as a boy from his father being a preacher. And what he did was when people came to the sermon, they'd write down on a card what they were having problems with, their name and what problem they were having. And so when he'd get on stage, he'd have a wire in his ear, and his wife would be backstage reading into a microphone that went into his ear, reading out loud what the problems. Yeah, this is old age stuff. But yeah, we'll take a break here.
But there's a lot of these mega churches, mega preachers, and there's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
And Joyce Myers, I think,
she's
was
another
one.
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, these people,
multimillionaires. Yeah.
People suck it up and they just cheer and clap and just so. What am I missing here? I mean, what are these people doing? How stupid can they be? You know,
it's the same view of what people have, you know, these televangelists that they have with government. I think it's the same kind of worship. In some ways, they're worshiping the entity of government or televangelists, they're worshiping that.
Politicians and preachers. Yeah. Holy cow. They both start with P.
And they're snake oil salesmen. That's what they are. But yeah, we'll come back
after
this.
Okay, let's play
some
music and we'll take a...
A break.
Take a break, yeah.
There's a place where the sun doth shine and the birds keep time with the pines up yonder. That's the home of my Caroline. She's dancing in the sky. Sweet when we meet on the golden streets of the great white valley. These old chains around my feet, they're pulling me back down. Caroline, oh Caroline, I'll be home just any old time. The grave and the garden will be satisfied till your name's next to mine. My bones do break and my hands do shake as I lie in the wake of time's cruel slaughter. But if I die before I wake, I'm gonna see my Caroline. Caroline, oh Caroline, I'll be home just any old time. The grave and the garden will be satisfied till your name's next to mine. There's a place where the sun doth shine and the birds keep time with the pines up yonder. That's the home of my Caroline. She's dancing in the sky. Caroline, oh Caroline, I'll be home just any old time. The grave and the garden will be satisfied till your name's next to mine. Caroline, my Caroline, I'll be home just any old time. The grave and the garden will be satisfied until your name is next to mine.
Some but happy, rich but I'm broke, and the good Lord knows the reason. I'm just a cowpoke from Cheyenne to Douglas. The ranges I know, 'cause I drift with the wind. No one cares where I go. I ain't got a dime, Billy's old worn out jeans, so I'll stop eating steak. I'll go back to beans. I'll pick up a 10 spot in Prescott, I know, riding the Bronx in the big rodeo. some evening in springtime. A filly or fine, I might spend all summer with her on my mind. And I'll never be branded, never be broke. I'm a carefree range riding, drifting capo.
Bird, his wings are black as sin, and he floats outside my prison window, mocking those within. And he sinks to me real low, it's hell to where you go. You didn't murder Cade McCannon. Himself a dark haired daughter with long green eyes. And when she and I didn't meet, she was bathing in the creek. Prettiest girl in the whole damn holler, that ain't no lie. I went according to Cade McCannon. Got me a job and I quit my rambling. And every day I'd save a quarter of my pay. Well, I could buy a diamond ring. Lord, and one day I come home to find my darling angel's not in sight. So I made for the creek where she and I didn't meet. Found her with some other lover. Then I put three rounds into Cade McCannon.
BS show
coming at you on a rainy day
in a beautiful downtown Union City.
Yeah. I shouldn't make fun.
We're in the underground mall right now, Bill.
Yeah, Yeah, nobody can see us.
That's right.
Oh, that's a good thing.
We're in secret.
Oh, shoot. We talked an awful lot, you know, that. What else we got to say? I mean, America's going down the toilet, so.
Yeah. Well, I would say the whole world is, you know.
Yeah, well, probably. Go to Argentina.
I'm tempted. Over. I wish we could just have an Argentina moment here. That's what I'm wishing
I'm
for.
73, so I ain't much starting over here. It's just, I'm stuck. I'm trapped. Trapped in my
but
existence.
You have to count your blessings. We both live in a very, you live much more rural than I do, but we live kind of simple lives, you know. And I think knowing the basic necessities of life and keeping it simple and being sustainable is a good thing.
Well, I've been without credit cards for a good 20, 25 years.
Right.
And that was probably my life-saving decision, I guess you could say. And because, boy, I mean, so many people have credit card, and nobody's going to admit it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's they're not proud of it. But there's a lot of people that they're surviving on credit cards.
Right.
I mean, just to buy groceries and stuff. I mean,
right.
They're using credit cards.
That's scary.
Yeah, and it's nothing but a trap. Big trap.
I agree. Live it within your means. That's a, you know, pay off that credit card debt every month. If you have.
Well, you know, you get a lot of. I wonder how many people are surviving on government handouts. You know, I mean, what do you call it? Is it welfare? Or is
welfare, food stamps.
Food stamps.
It's hard to say.
I don't know. I don't even know how that works. I've never done it, so.
Well, you know, this is why I think as a community, things are better done locally, and that's why I support the food pantry, but, you know, other initiatives I'm not really too fond of because they don't address the local needs that we face locally. You can't – the larger an organization gets, the more corruption and bureaucracy gets in way, and I think this is why we should be helping each other. You know, you should know your neighbors. You should be able to help them out. And I know you've told me some things about you don't have to get into them because you probably don't want to advertise it, but you've helped people that you know because you knew their personal struggle. And I think.
Well, I do what I can.
Right.
You know, what I'm capable of.
Right.
And I'm not capable of much anymore.
No, but you can help people where they need help at. And I think that's, I'm not just you, but everybody. Instead of relying on the government to help people, you as a person can help people. And that's, I think, the true power of how we build our communities back.
Yeah, well, I most folks don't even know their neighbors anymore.
No,
but you should. It's just, well, some neighbors you don't want to know.
No, that's true.
That's for sure.
In a time of crisis, though, that's going to be people that are going to be right around you, though. But I think we have enough talking, don't you think? We should just play some music and just kind of let it drift off.
Okay, you got some more music that can just celebrate the spring, I guess you could say.
Yeah, celebrate the spring and kind of represent the current drowsy weather we're facing.
Drowsy weather. Yeah. That's a good term right there. So, till next week, I guess we'll see you all later.
That's right.
Every town that I ramble around,
There's more pretty girls than one. Out across that sea, see the breakers swell. How many love is done washed away? No human tongue can tell. There's more pretty girls than one, more pretty girls than one. Every town that I ramble around, there's more pretty girls than one. Yodel, yodel, yodel. Sunshine beating on the good times, moonlight raising from the grave, string band playing worn out honky tonk, pretty young thing going dancing in the rain. High heel lady spitting at the Nick of Jacks, businessman with a needle and a spoon. Coyote chewing on a cigarette, pack of young boys going howling at the moon. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town, less than my sense catches up with me. Crash on the number four, two witnesses blowing up high. Not sure whose will be done, and you can call me a sinner for wondering why. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town, less than my sense catches up with me. Sweeter in this town. Could it be it's the same as the last? Swear I've seen your face elsewhere before, just as familiar as a bottle and a glass. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town, less than my sense catches up with me. Hey, darling, sleeping on the blacktop. Hey, darling, running through the trees, honey. Hey, darling, leaving for the next town, less than my sense catches up with me. buzz in my sense catches up with me. I got something to admit. I met a man out in the sticks, a good old myth. He drove a Series 10 Cadillac and wore a cigar on his lip. Don't you know the devil wears a suit and tie? Driving down the 61 in early July, white as the cotton field and sharp as a knife. I heard him howling as he passed me by. And he said, I know you, young man. I know you by the state of your hands. You're a six-string picker, just as I am. Well, let me learn you some. I know a few tunes to make all the girls dance. Don't you know the devil wears a suit and tie? Driving down the 61 in early July, white as the cotton field and sharp as a knife. I heard him howling as he passed me by. That man's lessons had a price, a sweet price. My sweet soul, everlasting, my very own eternal life. Don't you know that the devil wears a suit and tie? So I'm driving down the 61 in early July, white as the cotton field and sharp as a knife. I heard him howling as he passed me by. Well, the devil wears a suit and tie. So I'm driving down the 61 in early July, white as the cotton field and sharp as a knife. I heard him howling as he passed me by.
don't you ask yourself today, take a break from the man-made hell to catch a breath today. Could be the last you know, hell's how you ought to go. No pain could ever buy your soul, ever make you whole. Don't you fake no smile if it ain't true. Crazy, I'm sure he's here, but you're the only you today. Could be the last you know, hell's how you ought to go. No pain ever buy your soul, ever make you whole. Don't you worry, child, don't hold no stress, don't let nothing steal your smile. This world's a mess today. Be the last you know, hell's how you ought to go. No pain could ever buy your soul, ever make you whole. Don't you waste it, babe, don't waste no time. Protect your heart and soul, protect your mind today. Could be the last you know, hell's how you ought to go. No pain could ever buy your soul, ever make you whole. Today could be the last you know, hell's how you ought to go. So ever make you whole today, could be the last you know, hell's how you ought to go. No pain could ever buy your soul, ever make you whole.
Sacred place, home back where I grew. Home between three old pine trees that nobody knew. And I'd close my eyes and pass the time like youngins often do. But now I'm long gone, completely ruined. Going all than you and I were made for. Many different things. Oh, to live and learn and lie and laugh and fight and dance and sing. But our hearts have been so battered by the things that we have seen. And I can feel it in the way that you look at me. We could pick any old star.
Circumstances shot us down like September does. Circumstances shot us down like September does. Nowadays without liquid relief. Well, if all the bars are whiskey, then my grandma's drinks are cheap. I can't afford sleep anymore. When we were never made full of, our souls are far too old. Oh, but loneliness needs company, and a lost dog needs a home. So you will be the fire, and I will be the coal. Baby, we can burn out of control. We can pick any old rolling star again. Hell, we can change the names and circumstances shot us down like September does. Circumstances shot us down like September does. Circumstances